he decided that some journey sabbatical that we could look at what is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And different people who are going to be preaching over the next few months were offered, you know, which ones do you want to do? And so I chose something I'm doing here twice whilst Tony is away. And so I chose kindness and gentleness. But over the next few weeks, however, speaking, we'll pick up some aspect of what we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this is a story about somebody who was kind. This is a story from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. And it's about a lady who's called Dorcas. Sometimes she's called Tabitha. So this is Acts 9, verse 36. In Joppa, there was a woman named Tabitha, who was a believer. Her name in Greek is Dorcas, meaning a deer. She spent all her time doing good and helping the poor. At that time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed and laid in a room upstairs. Joppa was not very far from Lydda. And when the believers in Joppa heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him with a message, "Please hurry and come to us." So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, he was taken to the room upstairs, where all the widows crowded round him, crying and showing him all the shirts and coats that Dorcas had made while she was alive. Peter put them all out of the room and knelt down and prayed. They turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and she saw Peter, she sat up. Peter reached over and helped her get up. Then he called all the believers, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news about this spread all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed on in Joppa for many days with a tanner called Simon. And I noticed that as I read the story, that it reminds me of what Jesus did. And this is perhaps a lesson for us, because if you remember, years before there was a man called Jairus, and Jairus' daughter had died. Peter was that Jesus was called, and he just took with him when he prayed for Jairus' daughter, Peter, James, and John. Everybody else was left outside. And so Peter watched Jesus speak to the dead girl. To Peter Cooley, "I say to you, little girl, arise." And so then, a number of years later, Dorcas has died. Peter's thinking, "I watched Jesus do something like this before. This little girl was dead. I think I'll try this one." And so he says, "Get up," says in other words, "Get up, Dorcas, come back to life again." That's what I'm talking about this morning, but I just learned a few about women because I think it's useful to remember that people show us how to do things, and then in the same power of God, we try to do them. Well, my job this morning is to talk about kindness. So if you can have the PowerPoint up, that would be great. So you can see there that there's nine different aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I've identified kindness is the one that we'll be thinking about this morning. Let me just give you a few background points about this whole business of the fruit of the Spirit before we actually hone in on the word of kindness. The first thing we need to say is that, is this speaking to us or not? I'll try again. Do I have to talk to something? Is it on the floor? I'm not just going to speak to you, just keep going on in that case. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's not speaker, is it? This one.
that changed?
Yeah.
I think you're having a joke at the moment.
Yes, it's been great this morning, actually, because this didn't work this morning, and I just want you to be thankful for all the people that are here a long time before you arrive, because they're practicing, and this needed to be put right, so the phone calls to try to get the people to make you right, and have made it right now. And so that's good. We make the best God for people that give the time to do that. So I want to say, these fruits, not fruits, not the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because this is one whole. And sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, I'm not bad at peace, but I'm no good at patience. Or I'm okay at, persevering, but I'm not really loving people deeply. Well, we've got to be into all of them, because it's fruits, and it's not fruits. We don't choose the ones that we like, because we think we do one of those. God wants to produce all this fruit into our lives. I'm going to go for the next one, if that's okay. Yeah. Metal, that is it. And the gifts of the Spirit are received immediately, but fruit takes a lot longer to grow in our lives. I often think about the dove. Isn't it the dove? That's called it. That's the Holy Spirit. The dove has two wings. And the main thing that the Holy Spirit does is either it gives gifts of the Spirit or it produces fruit in us. And there are some people that don't like the gifts of the Spirit very much. And they just like the fruit of the Spirit, but you see that dove wouldn't get very far if it just used one wing, would it? And some people that aren't really so keen on the fruit character side of life, they just like talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and that's not going to take you very far either. We need both the fruit and the gifts to work together. But gifts are received immediately. You don't have to earn them from God. He gives them as a gift to us. But fruit is a lifelong process. In fact, it goes on forever into eternity. Prophecy and tongues will pass away, but love will go on forever. So this one. It's impossible to be truly kind without ongoing transformation in our lives. You might have had a very good upbringing. You might think yourself as a kind person. That's good. But the kindness we're talking about here is only the produce of the Holy Spirit. It is His kindness in our lives. Next. The Greek word for kindness is Christos. And the Greek word for Christ is Christos. Just one letter difference. Christos, Christos. Now, the reason I'm saying that is that the most kind person who ever lived was Jesus. And so in his life, kindness poured. And so the more we have Jesus, the more we will have of kindness. Next one. To be kind is to be loving in the brief context of life. See, there's a lot of peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Really, they're all expressions of love. Every aspect of the Holy Spirit is an expression of love. And so we have this little quote, to be kind is to be loving in the briefer context of life. And that's good. So this morning, this week, as you are with people in those briefer contacts of life, you can demonstrate kindness. That's one. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. Actually, that word easy is the word kind. You might not understand that, but that's what it means. The word easy actually means kind. So Jesus is saying, my yoke is kind. So if you had to have an ox this morning, and you know, I've got the yoke on me, I might not like this. It's a responsibility to carry it, but there's a kindness about it. And there's a man called John Stott who was died there, but he was a great Bible teacher. And he divided these nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit into three categories. And first of all, this slide, he talked about the public walk with God that we have. In the public walk with God, people know whether we are loving, joyful, or peaceful. Because that's sort of things on the surface of our lives. And you might not know somebody for more than 5 minutes, but in that 5 minutes you can sort of capture whether there's enough joy and peace coming out of their lives. That's sort of more surface things that people can notice. That's one. And then he talks about the personal walk with God. And this is patience, kindness, and goodness. You see, you don't really know whether somebody is really good or kind or patient until you know them a lot better. I could tell you this morning, you know, I'm a really good person, but you don't know much about me at all. But if you knew me a lot better, then you'd be able to say whether I was a good or a kind or a patient person or not, because you'd have personal involvement with me. So that's what he calls our personal walk with God. And then the third section is what he calls our private walk with God, faithfulness, gentleness or meekness, and self-control. And this is where, you know, people can be hiding something about their real nature in their lives, but God knows whether those things are there or not. We can appear quite self-controlled a lot of the time. But then, you know, what do we like at home? Sometimes people in church responsibility, they give the impression that they are everything's rosy in the garden, but then they treat their families carefully. There's no self-control in their lives, and it's more private to them. So that might be helpful to you, it might not, but that was John Stott's picking up the way that those are expressed. For a few minutes now, and so I've got 4 or 5 points to say. The first thing to say is kindness is powerful. Kindness is powerful. There's two pictures there. There's a picture there of a boy who's in hospital. He used to work with somebody called Paul, and he was brought up in Liverpool, very poor area of Liverpool. He was part of a gang, and that gang, you know, they didn't do the things really. The mischievous gang. And Paul became very ill, and he was taken into hospital. Now, actually, one of the things that this gang had done was that the youth club that they went to, they smashed it up on a couple of occasions. And when Paul went into the hospital, he probably thought, well, some of my gang members will come and see me. But none of them did. But the people that ran the youth club, they came to see him every week. Week in, week out. He was in hospital for months. And that's going to get to him, because he was thinking, you know, of the youth club. And they're showing just how kind they are to me. As a result of that, Paul became a Christian, and later on to that, he also became an evangelist. I used to work with him in evangelism. There's another picture there of somebody cleaning the toilets. And a while ago, I came across this book, it's called Servant Warfare, but underneath it says, how kindness conquers spiritual darkness. And his argument right throughout the book is that kindness is very powerful. It changes people's attitude towards God. And so there's got loads of stories in this book. I'm just going to read you a couple of them. The first one is about cleaning toilets. Because from their church, they used to go out and into businesses and offered to clean the toilets. And didn't ask for money for it, but they were just trying to demonstrate they were caring for the community. In that situation, he says, I was able to shine the light of God's love into significant darkness recently while cleaning the toilets with a pastor in the Dallas area, Texas. We entered an Islamic grocery market and offered to clean the toilets to show God's love in a practical way. The manager surprised me by firing back in a Middle Eastern accent. We have 12 toilets. He wanted to show me the love of Jesus. You can start by cleaning all 12. I've cleaned as many as 3 for most of the business, but 12 would take an hour or more. How about 3 toilets? I have more places to clean this morning. You wouldn't budge. If you don't clean all 12, don't bother cleaning any of them. I could see that the toilet negotiating was beginning nowhere, so I gave in. But as we walked up to the bathroom, he shifted gears. You know, we really only have 2 toilets. I told you 12 because I was giving you a test to see if you were real or not. Apparently, I passed the test because as we cleaned, each of those dozen or more employees came back to talk to us one by one. Each one asked, why are you doing this? I don't know how many opportunities that we've had interacting with non-believers through doing this sort of work. I'm not suggesting that you've got to go out and clean the toilets in Old Harlow this morning, but that might not be a good idea. But it's a way of demonstrating kindness, and it changes people's mindsets about God. That's the first point there. Secondly, people do respond to kindness. My friend Paul, his whole worldview changed because of those youth club leaders. People's attitude does change. They respond to kindness. This is the second story. This was a chap who was offering to mow the lawns of people in his area, particularly the people that could no longer mow their own lawns. Recently, a couple of men I know decided to spend a Saturday morning serving their neighbourhood by mowing lawns. One lawn had grown particularly long grass. They discovered that a retired Jewish medical doctor lived there who was confined to a wheelchair and was thus unable to mow his lawn. When they finished mowing, they stopped by to offer prayer to this Jewish doctor. He thanked them for the prayer, and after the mowing, he said, you know, I'm an old Jewish man. Not once in my life I even thought about becoming a Christian until today. That Jesus, who mows lawns for people, this kind of Messiah I can be interested in. They said, we'll be back. Kindness goes a long way. There clearly there's a lot of kindness that needs to be shown within the fellowship here. They would be very kind to me this morning, you know, answering my questions and, you know, making it easy for me to hear. That's all part of being the body of Christ. But, you know, beyond the church, the relationships that we have beyond the church, kindness goes a long way. Just by simple things. We don't have to have neighbours from, you know, that place. Or we can have good neighbours. We've just moved into a new estate. And I want to get to know my neighbours. I've got one on one side, one on the other side. And shortly after we moved in, we got to know them. And looking for some refreshments together. And then they were going away for a couple of weeks. And so I said, anything I can do for you, I'll ask you away. And they said, well, actually, all these plans take you to the station, you know, rather than you get the taxi. Well, that's very kind of you to do that. On the other side, he's come back from France, from Spain, and he's been there for 10 years, but this year they've been going back to Spain quite a lot. They've got a lot of friends out there, and when they go away, he gives me a key to his house and his car, just in case he has to move the car for one reason or another. And I've been, you know, going to head up and making sure the post is in the right place on the table and that sort of thing.
It's nothing.
It doesn't take any amount of time. Because I just march off to churches when you're reading a Bible and put it on and then spoke to them. What do they think? Just a simple act of kindness. I don't know what they think yet. But we pray for them and we ask that the Lord might just open their hearts and if we can be part of that process, that's good. People respond to kindness. Next one. Kindness leads to repentance. And this is fascinating, actually. In a moment, I'm just going to show you a verse about how this operates. So let's see this verse from Romans chapter 2, next one. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Don't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? The other versions say, bring you to repentance. God's kindness leads people to repentance. That's true of us. That's how it's worked in our lives. We realize just how much he loves us and that Christ Jesus died on the cross for us. And that's sort of called a turning to him out of our lives. We repented of our sinfulness and turned to God. Another one from Titus. Next one, please. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. When God revealed his kindness to us, it led to our salvation. There's a difference between God's kindness and our niceness. You see, we can be nice in our humanity, we can be nice. Let's not be nice, that's important. But there's a difference between God's kindness and our niceness. Next one, please. See, God's kindness isn't easy. God's kindness isn't natural. And God's kindness isn't fast. For me to be kind to check the post for my next door neighbour, it might be harder a bit later on if they get more demanding of me. Maybe I've got to demonstrate a lot more time given to that situation. Who's to know what that might be? But God's kindness isn't easy. Get to the cross. It's not natural. Our human nature doesn't really go the extra mile very easily. God's kindness isn't fast sometimes, like my friend Paul. You know, those youth club people, they went week after week for months on end. And that's expressing God's kindness. And he's building it into our lives. And it doesn't become a burden, it becomes a joy for us. Next one. Now, Jesus' teaching confirms this. He talks, for example, about loving your enemies, loving your enemies. You know, that particular verse is really powerful for Muslims. I've heard a number of Muslims say that they see that verse in Matthew about love your enemies. I don't believe it. But we thought Muslims attend our church, Muslims who are still Muslims. And one chap said to me, after he'd been to church a few times, he said, you know, when you have your intercessions and you pray for the peace of the world, said one big open mosque on Friday. In some mosques, they come out with a spirit of anger. And that's why sometimes mosques on Fridays, they can be complicated. But when a Muslim gets hold of that particular verse about loving your enemy or being kind to your enemy, they can't believe that this is a starting point to want to read the New Testament more. If I can get it, Jesus said that. That's all that about. That's how I want to hear the first, please. The sword slaps you on the right cheek, off the other cheek also. If you're a student course and your shirt is taken from you, your belt too. If someone demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. Oh, Jesus is so uncomfortable at times, isn't he? He's wonderful, but he's uncomfortable. Sometimes we give second-hand clothing away. Another chap that I used to work with called Philip, he just bought himself a new jumper. And he came across somebody was walking the streets, and the Lord said to him, give him your brand new jumper. And he probably thought, I've just bought this jumper, Lord. This is a nice jumper, wow, I like it. But the Lord said, give him your brand new jumper. So he did. Okay, we finished. So how do we do this next slide? How do we do it? And again. In the fruit of the Spirit passage in Galatians chapter 5, after we've read the words on the fruit of the Spirit, it says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. So as Jesus died, remarkably, we were also dying with him. When he died on the cross, we were also dying on the cross with him. We hadn't been born yet, but spiritually that's what was happening. We were dying on the cross with him. And as we were dying on the cross, the sinful passions were being nailed there. That's one place. And since we are living by the Spirit, that's just the verse that comes afterwards, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. The only way that the kindness of God will be revealed in us is if God builds it through us. It's God's kindness, it's not the other. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me finish. There's one more thing to say. When he talks there, can I have that thing back again? When he talks there about the follow the Spirit's leading. Galatians chapter 5 mentions the work of the Spirit 3 times, and there are 3 different Greek words. But when you get to this one, it's a different Greek word again. And what it means is this: it's a word that's like, it's a military word. You can imagine when the army are marching along, all in step, they're all marching in step. And all put the left foot forward at the right time. Or if you can imagine that, you know, I've been pulled over to the side and I've had my breathalyzer and they think I'm drunk. And they bring me back to the police station, and in the police station there's a white line there. They say, okay, walk along that white line. And of course, I'm a bit drunk, I can't manage it. But what this verse means is I'm able to just stick to that white line. It's about keeping in step with the Spirit. That's what it literally means. Keep in step with the Spirit. As we keep in step with the Spirit, then we will exhibit love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. It will be His kindness revealed in our lives. Or may the Lord keep helping us to show His kindness to others. And when we fail, say, Lord, I've failed. Thank you for your loving forgiveness. I want to start again. I've got 2 or 3 songs now that we're going to sing. And this first one is speaking about what the Lord is trying to build into our lives. Jesus, take me as I am. I can go no other way.